Contemporary Music Centre podcast series. Composer of the Month for February 2008, Derek Ball. In part two of this two-part podcast, Derek speaks to Michael Quinn about his compositional methods, his newfound enthusiasm for writing opera, psychiatric themes going through his operas, working with a librettist, using the Irish language in his work, and future plans.
And is there a kind of fixed process for you? Is the act of writing a piece the same, regardless of who the piece is for, the size of the piece, the point of the piece?
I don't think I've got a formula. I think if there was a formula for doing it, somebody would bottle it and sell it. I think it's different every time. You know, on the occasions when I've had to write a piece, when somebody's asked me to write something, very often I'll approach it very indirectly. I'll just sort of forget about it, and then in a little while I realise the idea is there.
Right.
And then I might sit down and do it. Approaching it directly in a workmanlike way, I doubt whether that would work anyway. I've never done it.
So where and when and how do you write?
Sometimes I get up at 8 a.m. and sit down and wire into it with enthusiasm and work all day. And sometimes I lie in and then I start getting active at midnight and work right through to till the sun comes up. I've no pattern. I suppose the only pattern is if I'm enthusiastic about something, I tend to go at it really hard and not let up and try and get as much done as possible while the enthusiasm lasts.
And pieces like that, presumably, to a degree, write themselves. What about the pieces that don't?
I have occasionally started a piece and then dropped it and just left it and, come back to it years later and looked at it and thought, yes, and I can see why I dropped it. but I think for most pieces, even if the energy lapses for a while, when you come back to it, more ideas are somehow just there.
So is there a drawer of sort of research and development pieces or test pieces that are working out a particular problem that might not find themselves into a score in a direct way?
No, I don't think I save things up.
Right.
Ever.
Everything is used.
Everything is used almost immediately.
That you're putting a lot of energy into recently is opera, which you describe yourself as a new convert to.
Yes. Yes, just in the last 2.5 years, more or less since I retired from medicine, I've become a sudden opera composer.
And this is without having written particularly much for the voice previously.
Mm.
I mean, Schlottl, to that extent, is a...
I'd started that, yes, that's right. And I wrote a few songs. And just about nothing else. And one choral piece, and nothing else, I'd say.
So what was the Damaski moment for you? What was the thing that kind of made you think, this is a form that I can work in and can say things in?
It was a conversation. I think there might have been two moments where something happened. One was I was in the audience at the premiere of Gerald Barry's Petra von Kant. And then I had a conversation with the person who became my first librettist, and he just made the throwaway comment, wouldn't that be a good operatic subject? And I sort of initially said, well, I don't write operas.
And which piece was that, and what was the subject?
So that's a piece that became Re Your Tears.
A substantial piece.
2+ hours, mm. Yes. It's sort of about 2.5 hours in total. And it's 6 acts. I think only 5 of the acts are in the library, probably. But it's It's quite a big piece. The first opera I wrote, and I just went for it. A full orchestra and 8 soloists. The only concession was there's no chorus.
What was the appeal? Was it working on scale? Was it working with theatrical dimension or what?
Pass. It just happened.
And what did you find it was kind of delivering to you as a composer, the process of writing an opera?
I think possibly the idea was to have a vehicle for some material that was in my head that I needed to get rid of. As I said, some of the operas, I think at least 3 of them, have psychiatric topics, and I think I maybe needed to work out some of my, you know, some of the trauma of my psychiatric career. So that's where it went.
Does it seem a more articulate form to you? But not least because it has the voice and because it has people interacting.
I think the problem and the challenge and the strength of opera is the way the story leads the music. I think it risks shapelessness musically all the time because you can't decide where the music goes. You're being dragged by the words and the story. But, of course, there's a danger of writing a symphony to which the words are incidental. You know, I think both things are terrible pitfalls. If I'm at all conscious of you know, the task of writing an opera, it's that. It's the task of trying to keep a total structure and yet trying to keep the words and the story always at the forefront. The process of working with a librettist who's writing as the music is being written, just ahead of the music, rather than being presented with a total libretto that, you know, you just sort of start on from A to Z. I think influencing the librettist and constantly talking about it is a lovely process. More rewarding and probably more interesting for the librettist as well. I've worked with 3 librettists, one on the big opera, and he's also my librettist for my present 5th opera, which we're in the middle of. And I had a different librettist who was a medical colleague. We're both medical colleagues, but this one was a psychiatric colleague as well. Who I worked on with 2 other operas, and the third librettist was myself. I had the interesting process of writing the words and music simultaneously.
Was that an enjoyable experience for
that
you?
That was
a good collaborator.
Yes, I don't know how it happened, and it probably couldn't happen again. But the words flowed out in the same way that the music did.
Why did you make that decision to write your own libretto in that instance?
I can't quite remember, but I have a feeling it was probably just a matter of time and opportunity. I didn't have time to look around for somebody who would get the idea. I was just, you know, I knew what I was wanting, and I couldn't stop.
And which piece is this?
So that's a piece called A Brightness of the Upper Cheek, and it's the one with 6 Irish songs in Irish. The 2 characters in it are Tomás O'Sullivan and Sean O'Riordan. They're the 2 singers. And Tomás sings his 6 songs, which he recorded in 1958 on the first Gaelic LP. So that was an idea that I had known about for several decades, and I had that LP myself. And it suddenly struck me that there's a way of treating that. I could have then sat on the idea and found somebody who was interested in the whole thing, and it would have taken ages.
And the Irish language is important to you, because despite its Mexican, its Aztec setting, Xolotl is in Irish.
Sure. And I have Irish titles for some of my pieces, and I have set the Irish language. I think it's a lovely language. I like setting Irish, I like setting French. They're much more beautiful sounding languages than English. English is ugly.
Are there particular challenges with the Irish language?
Not at all, no.
The vowel sounds, the consonant sounds don't offer particular problems that you don't find elsewhere.
No, I think they're just much nicer than the ugly vowels and consonants of English.
And much more emotional?
Yes. Yes, of course it is. In my little Irish song opera, I've got some sort of a comment about if there's an elliptical way of saying something, Irish will find an even more roundabout way of expressing the same idea.
Han rasel ahur reir anur shafechlo shalatul lachuplo realtun amaitine vasigan den ele bas tabun nar huinach agus nar na huinach mar shriche da hap baharla ne brach broon a pion ku na skarut e vatin a sool tiglin na haru gudain ilain tliela dar slanu an shalatl shah charan an fia an filler an nahir.
One of the surprising things about your conversion to opera is beyond the fact of it itself, is that none of the five works have been commissioned, that you're not working to a deadline or a specific demand by other people.
Yes, if I waited for commissions, I'd probably be waiting a long time. I think that's the same problem of thinking of something and having to get it out straight away. If somebody does commission me, that piece will get written very quickly. But if I think of something and think that I must save that up until a commission comes along, well, you know, the piece will not get written then. Something else will happen.
And so I suppose that begs the question, what are you working on now and what's next for you?
I suppose the most immediate piece is the number 5 opera, which is about the death of Anton Webern. You're probably familiar with the story. 1945, at the end of the war, he was accidentally shot. So this is a poetical treatment of that story, an indirect, non-linear way of telling the story and maybe getting a slightly different angle on it.
And does it quote Webern's music at all?
It uses some serial techniques, of course, but no, it doesn't actually quote any. It does use some note rows that are Webern-esque, but if I was too literal about imitating Webern, it would be a very short opera.
And the librettist for this piece
is the same as the one for "Read Your Tears."
All right.
He's my serious librettist, David Barry.
And the piece is called.
The working title at the moment is A Chamber Concerto for Voices.
And gunshot,
echoing,
presumably.
Echoing, well, I'm not sure whether there will be a gunshot. It's more poetical than realistic. But the title, of course, echoes Berg, Webern's great friend. And there are some similarities with the Chamber Concerto, Berg's Chamber Concerto.
And this is due for completion?
Whenever. I think the limiting factor always tends to be that the my librettists will tend to be slower than I am, so I'm constantly pushing to keep them going.
Mm-hmm.
probably in Ireland and the UK, opera companies do their best, and new operas do get produced, of course. There's a limited resource. It's a very expensive medium, of course. So I think if I persuade an opera company to do one of my many operas, I'll be very lucky. I keep trying.
And what about recording projects? Are any of those in the pipeline?
Nothing official. I do record, you know, performance pieces, electroacoustic pieces and other performance pieces every so often. So I've got one or two things coming up there, which are a bit vague at the moment. I'd be over-optimistic if I said what I was planning to do. But there are one or two things coming up.
Thank you very much for that.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Contemporary Music Centre Ireland. For more information, audio and video, go to www.cmc.ie.